Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
As Christ is enthroned in our lives, that river of life, that water proceeds from us, and wherever it goes, whoever comes into contact with it, whoever is touched by it, they spring to life. Life is the result. That is such a beautiful picture. And it's so true. Wherever the gospel is gone, life comes.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapter 7, verses 1 through 39, in a message titled, If Anyone Thirsts. Now here's Pastor Brian.
And the things at one time sort of numbed their conscience or placated their conscience, those things no longer work. Where at one time, you know, if their conscience began to feel a little bit disturbed, they'd just go out and distract themselves with something, some sort of pleasure or some material object or, you know, something that would just remove that little pricking of the heart. And I remember before I became a Christian when I was young, and I remember when that conviction would start to come upon me, I would do that very thing. I just turn my mind in another direction. I'd turn the music up. I'd get out of the house. I'd go do something to distract myself from that type of thing. But that's what Jesus is describing here. He's describing the sense that there has to be something more than rituals and religion have to offer. See, he's appealing to the people who the ritual did not satisfy them. The religion, as it stood, they sensed that it was empty. And so he's appealing to those who are looking for something beyond just a ritual, looking for something beyond just a religious activity. He's appealing to those who are longing to know and experience God. And notice, if anyone thirst, it's a universal invitation. If anyone thirst, if there's anyone anywhere, at any time, who is anxious in their soul, who is sensing a conviction of sin, who's longing for their conscience to be alleviated, who's dissatisfied with the rituals of their religion, who wants to know the God behind these things, perhaps. You see, the sad thing is that there are so many who settle for these other things. They settle for the pleasure. They settle for the materialism. They settle for the ritual. They settle for the religion. They're very happy to be religious. And for them, that's sufficient. That's good enough. We don't need to go beyond that. I've got my ritual. I've got my little thing that I do. And that makes me feel better about myself, and I'm content with that. And they don't want to go deep. They don't want to encounter God Himself. They're happy to just have a religion. And that's a tragedy. But the invitation is to anyone who will thirst. And it is an invitation, notice, to come to me and to drink. You see, Jesus calls men to himself. That's what this is all about. Jesus didn't say, if anyone thirst, let him get religion. If anyone thirst, send him over to the church. Now, hopefully, you could send him to the church and he could find Jesus there. But there's a lot of people in churches who have never found the Lord. The church is really, of course, this is just the gathering of people who believe in Jesus. We come together to worship him and to be built up in the faith. But it's to Jesus that we're called to come, not to a ritual, not to religion, not to good works, even. If anyone thirsts, let him clean up his act. If anyone thirsts, let him live a better life. If anyone thirsts, let him keep the Ten Commandments. That's not what Jesus said. He said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. See, that's the wonderful thing about this. This isn't religion. This isn't a ritual. This is a relationship with God. We're talking to people about a living person who is God, our Creator, who loves us and wants to have a relationship with us, the very relationship that we were created to experience. You know, when a person says, well, how do you know there's a God? How do you know Jesus is the Messiah? You know, you can really simply just answer him, well, I know him. That's how I know. I've had an experience with a person. And that's always what this message has been. Now, sadly, it's been distorted and diluted over the ages. And as I mentioned, and as is true still to this very day, you can find churches and people attending churches and people even leading churches who do not know the God they claim to be worshiping and serving. You can go all over Europe today and you can find these wonderful monuments to Christianity, these beautiful cathedrals, these vast, glorious edifices. But you walk in and ask any questions about God, and you'll find real quickly that that's not what this thing is here for. This is just a museum, is what it has become in so many cases. But how did it become that? It became that because at some point they forgot that this is about a relationship. But Jesus reminds us of that here. So if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. This reminds us of another invitation that Jesus gave. You remember he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. He said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm meek, I'm gentle in heart. You will find rest for your souls. But that same kind of invitation, come to me, Jesus said. Now notice he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Here's the promise. Come to me. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart or out of his innermost being, will gush forth rivers or torrents of living water. Now, Jesus said that the scriptures had declared this. Many Bible teachers have wondered, well, just what scripture was it that Jesus was referring to? I think it was really more than just a single scripture. I think it was many scriptures that were painting this sort of a picture for us. But in Isaiah 58:11, it says this, it says, you shall be like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's really what Jesus is talking about here. This water springing up from within, gushing forth from one's life. And the point that the Lord is making here is that Salvation is not only for our own personal benefit, it is then to flow from us and touch the lives of others. Life gushing forth from our lives. That's what Jesus is promising. Come to me and drink. And for the person who comes to him and drinks, there's going to be this flow of water, living water, coming forth from their lives. In the 47th chapter of Ezekiel's prophecy, we read there about the new temple that will be built in the millennial kingdom, the kingdom of Christ when he comes and establishes that kingdom. And it's interesting how here in the 47th chapter, it tells us about the waters that flow from that millennial temple. Verse 1, it says, "And he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east." And then over in verse 3, "And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim. He said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes.'" Now, this is a picture, literally, of this river that's going to flow forth from the throne of God in the millennial kingdom. And notice, it's a river of life. Wherever the river flows, life is the result. This is what Jesus is talking about. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This, I think, is really the connection. I think it's Ezekiel 47. What Jesus is saying is that right now, that which will one day proceed from the millennial temple and from the throne to the nations, right now, presently, during this dispensation, that very thing will proceed from the life of each individual who believes in me. Think about that. That's the picture. That as Christ is enthroned in our lives, that river of life, that water proceeds from us, and wherever it goes, whoever comes into contact with it, whoever is touched by it, they spring to life. Life is the result. That is such a beautiful picture. And it's so true. Wherever the gospel is gone, life comes. It's that spirit of life. It's the spirit of God coming and bringing life to people. And you can look all over the place and you can see lives that were dead, families that were destroyed, homes that were demolished. On and on you could go with the destruction and misery following sin. But then you see this river flowing. And you see how God touches a life. And then that life touches another life. And that life touches another life. And on and on. And then you see there's this beautiful river flowing. Where once there was death and destruction, now there's life and blessing. And it's such a powerful thing. It's such a glorious thing. I had such a vivid picture of this some years ago. I remember before we built the youth camp up in Green Valley. I remember when we went up to look at this old rundown camp that was there. I think it was a YMCA camp. And it was just as dilapidated as anything could be. And, you know, when you looked at this, you just thought, oh, this is a hopeless situation. But I remember a few years ago driving up the hill and going up to maybe do a high school camp or something. And, you know, as I pulled into the property, just looking at this beautiful facility, this wonderful place that's been used by God so significantly in the lives of so many young people. And it just made me think of this whole idea of wherever the river goes, there's life. And just how this dilapidated, run-down, out-of-use facility has now been revitalized because Pastor Chuck had a vision to restore this place so that it could be used again for young people to be ministered to through the gospel. And now it's teeming with life. Another even more vivid illustration of that is our conference center out of Marietta. Years ago, Chuck and Kay called Cheryl and I and said, hey, we're going to go out and look at this property in Marietta. It's for sale. Why don't you guys meet us? And, you know, we'll check it out. We'll have lunch. And we went out there. And this place was so run down and disgusting. The food was absolutely abominable. The restaurant was so dingy, I was afraid to eat the stuff on our plate. And I remember, after a few hours of wandering around, walking away from that place thinking, if Chuck buys this, he's got to have his head examined. This place is a dump. It is completely worthless. Well, Pastor Chuck has rarely taken my advice on anything. And it's good that he didn't take my advice on that one, because if you go out to Marietta today, it's an oasis. It is beautiful. It's unbelievable. And if some of you were there for the before pictures, you know what I'm talking about. You wouldn't even dream it going out there now. You couldn't imagine it being a rundown rubbish heap, but that's what it was. Now, of course, I'm talking about facilities. I'm talking about buildings and things. But there's truth in it, because what's happening is these facilities, these buildings, are being redeemed by God for God's use, for God's purpose. That's what God has done with these buildings. It's, of course, he did it with the buildings just so we would have a facility to be able to do it in the lives of people. And there are thousands and thousands of lives that have been built up and restored and blessed. But it's all the same reality. It's the same truth. It's the same thing that we're talking about here. What is it? It's the river of life. Wherever it flows, it brings life. If you were to, you know, what's really the difference topographically between the northwestern United States and the southwestern United States? If you were to, you know, get at a distance and look at the two, you would see one is green and one is brown. Why is one green and one brown? Well, because one area has plenty of water, the other is a desert with very little water. Water makes all the difference. And likewise, that's true. Water makes all the difference. The water of life, the river of life, the Spirit of God. And Jesus, that's what he's talking about here. And John reminds us he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus was promising something that would come after his death and resurrection. And of course, that day has come. And we have access to that work of God's Spirit in our hearts that will flow out from our lives and that will bring life wherever it goes. Now, real quickly, just to finish up the chapter. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Messiah." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" You remember they were sent to arrest Jesus. The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, this rabble, these ignorant peasants," that's the implication, "that do not know the law, they are accursed. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, 'Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?' They answered and said to him, 'Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee.' And everyone went to his own house." It's amazing. In their blindness, in their hostility toward Jesus, it even brought a blindness to their minds. There were prophets. Jonah had arisen out of Galilee. Nahum had arisen out of Galilee. But in their hostility toward Jesus, they were willing to forget that in their past history, there were prophets that had arisen out of Galilee. But not only that, Isaiah, the 9th chapter, declared that Galilee of the Gentiles, those who sat in darkness, they would be the ones who would see a great light. And those who sat in the shadow of death, upon them light would shine. And so these men, because they've set their minds against Jesus, are now blinded to even the obvious things right there before their eyes in their own scriptures. And they're ridiculing Nicodemus, saying, "Are you from Galilee?" And with that, everyone went to his own house.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Cheryl, you like devotionals. I do as well. And there's somebody that you love very much who wrote a devotional.
Would that be my father, Chuck Smith?
That would be him, yes.
I knew it. And that would be Wisdom for Today. You know, there's a great story about that devotional too. Brian, maybe you remember when we were doing Pastor's Perspective together, and somebody was asking me for a devotional that they'd recommend. And I started to recommend John Corson's because it was a devotional for her husband. And all of a sudden, we heard kind of a knock on the door, and we looked over, and there was my dad. And he was signaling something to me.
Yeah.
And then he opened the door, and he said, "Cheryl."
He was reminding you that he had written
a
devotional.
That's right.
Yes.
And so, of course, without further ado, we said, "Wait, get Wisdom for Today."
Yeah.
It's a great devotional.
Yeah.
It really is.
And it's just a brief paragraph for each day, imparting wisdom from God's Word.
That's right.
Thanks, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book Wisdom for Today by Chuck Smith by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of Wisdom for Today, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Wisdom for Today devotional by Pastor Chuck that is sure to be one of your all-time devotional favorites. And it's also an excellent guide for reading the Bible in 1 year. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.